Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Monday, September 21st, and yesterday the Steelers got their second win on the season to go 2-0 after their 26-21 victory over the Denver Broncos. In the first segment, I'll recap the win, the biggest highlights, the biggest things, and we'll talk about all the good things and bad things that came from the win. In the second segment, I'm going to be talking about why you should be excited about this Steelers rookie class. Two rookies shine bright in this game. I'll tell you who they are, why they shine, and why you should continue to be excited about where Kevin Colbert has this team going. In the third segment, we're going to talk about Randy Feuchner, because I know a lot of y'all want to talk about Randy Feuchner. It's going to be a fun episode. Let's get this going. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch the season. How I watch the season is I was enjoying a cold, refreshing, sweet Pepsi when Chase Claypool caught his first touchdown for the NFL and ran 84 yards to get it done. And it tasted all better because I was enjoying a Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Let's get into it. All right, everyone, happy Monday and Victory Monday to all you guys out there, because the Steelers pulled in a huge win over the Denver Broncos, 26-21. Looked like it was going to be a blowout in the first half. Then things happened in the second half. It got real close, but the Steelers were able to close it out. I'm your host, Chris Carter. This is Locked On Steelers. Let's get to talking about what happened in this game. First and foremost, the defense came out a-gunning. They were on fire. Early on in this game, they were bringing the heat. And really, all game, they were bringing the heat. But after all was said and done, you look at their results and you can't be too mad at them. They had seven, count them, seven sacks on Broncos quarterbacks. And that was because they also knocked out Drew Lock, the team's starting and potential franchise quarterback. That brought in Jeff Driskel. He was able to throw around a little bit late. But all in all, you still look at a team, they had seven sacks, two forced turnovers, and a sack fumble created by Bud Dupree and recovered by Mike Hilton, an interception by Joe Hayden, and a safety forced on special teams. All in all, this defense was on fire. And we have to talk about the fact that they did what they were supposed to do through most of this game. Go back and look at some of how these plays worked out. You remember the interception from Joe Hayden? Yeah, sure. It bounced out the hands of Courtland Sutton. But Joe Hayden was in position to handle it. That people, yeah, if you look back throughout the history of Bill Belichick's career, how many times did his defense benefit out of just being in the proper position after a drop pass from another team? In fact, it happened in Sunday Night Football. Even though the Patriots lost, the first score of the game was a drop pass from Greg Olsen that plopped into the hands of a Patriots cornerback, and he took it all the way in for a touchdown. No one's saying, hey, that doesn't count because the Patriots did it. No, it still counts. And that's what Joe Hayden did. He took advantage of a big moment. Bud Dupree created his own moment when he was able to go and sack Jeff Lock. When you look at that play, and you see how Bud Dupree chased him down, forced the fumble, Mike Hilton scooping it, you see what we were all waiting to see. The edge rushers of the Steelers coming alive, bringing the heat off the edge, forcing the passes when they were in the tough situations. And Drew Lock was put in a really rough spot because then he threw five passes, only completed one of them, had a turnover, he was taken out of the game, and then came in Jeff Driskel. Now, Driskel isn't an experienced backup quarterback. He's played for the past 2 years in the NFL. 2018, he was with the Lions. 2019, he was with the Bengals. And in fact, he has a little bit of experience against the Steelers. and he's at least played in the league, so he was able to come in and at least manage the situation. But the Steelers' defense kept it on lock for most of the game. The worst that they were going up against was early on. They gave up some rushes to Melvin Gordon, but after a little bit, they figured that out. They locked it down, and then eventually, they were able to get control of the game. The offense in the first half looked like they were figuring things out. They came out, had a really big drive, were able to put some points on the board, and eventually get James Conner his first rushing touchdown of the season. In fact, it was their second possession of the game. They went 9 plays for 59 yards, and it ended up with a 2-yard run from James Conner, but it had some impressive plays from Juju Smith-Schuster and Ben Roethlisberger. Then in the second quarter, all they needed was one play. It was one huge pass from Ben Roethlisberger to Chase Claypool. One of those passes that makes me say, you know what? Y'all said that Ben's arm was hurting. Y'all said his elbow was done. Nuh-uh, not according to that, because he dropped it in a bucket. And Chase Claypool caught it and took it the rest of the way. It was an extremely impressive play because we've seen Chase Claypool do the tightrope dance on the sideline before. We saw him get a toe tap against the Giants. This time he caught it in stride, made sure he didn't step out of bounds, and accelerated past to a cornerback and a safety on his way into the end zone. Extremely impressive from the young man. We'll get into that in the second segment. But the bottom line is when you look at this team as a whole, yeah, they struggled. Yeah, we'll get into Randy Feetner in the third segment. But they still found a way to win. Even with several questionable points when we saw the referees kind of bring in this game into question. We saw, okay, early on, it's the Steelers. They get a defensive pass interference penalty on Joe Hayden. It's questionable, but that happens in football. But then as the game goes on, they get a block in the back penalty on Cam Sutton. It was very questionable at best. It brought back a Deontay Johnson touchdown. They are able to beat that because just a play after that, they throw a bomb to Chase Claypool that goes for a touchdown. But as the game went on, there were 6 first downs given to the Broncos because of penalties. Now, okay, you can say Mike Hilton. That you can say, okay, maybe I can see that. You can say Minkah Fitzpatrick with his pass interference, maybe I can see that. But not Devin Bush's pass interference, not Terrell Evans' pass interference, and Joe Hayden's pass interference was questionable at best. There were several points in this game where the Steelers were outplaying the Broncos, and then the game was brought back in after the Steelers outplayed the Broncos in a specific moment. So I think there's a kudos to both the players and the coaching staff for staying focused and finding ways to overcome. In that last drive especially, when the Broncos are driving and they're trying to figure things out, and it's third down, they throw an incomplete pass, and it's a horrible pass. Their receiver trips in open space. He can't get anything done. They call a flag on Terrell Edmonds for defensive pass interference. I've looked at the play from a couple different angles. I still haven't seen the point where he even makes contact with this receiver, yet the call happens. But what happens? The Steelers are able to force it to a 4th and short. Devin Bush broke up the pass on 3rd down. And then on 4th down, they bring the pressure, and Terrell Edmonds gets home, gets the sack, forces the turnover on downs. A huge play from him, a huge play from the Steelers, and a huge win from the team in a game where they needed to be able to win because this is a team they were supposed to beat. And with all the things going against them, they still found a way to win. I think that is worthy of a testimony to say, hey, this team knows what they need to do. They've won 2 games. Now it's time to focus on the Houston Texans next week and see how they win moving forward. Before we get to our next segment, we got to talk to you about our great sponsor, Visa. Now more than ever, it's important to show support for your team and your community. Visa and the National Football League know that local businesses help your community move the ball down the field. Small businesses everywhere overcome challenges in these new times thanks to teammates like you and Visa. Because when everyone pitches in, everyone benefits. Being loyal to local businesses ignites growth and supports all of us and our communities. Because they know where you shop matters, Visa urges you to support local retailers who are making shopping safe and reliable. And remember, tap to pay with a contactless Visa wherever you see the contactless symbol to help support your community.
Visa, the official partner of the NFL. We'll be back right after this. We're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get to talking about this rookie class. Because in week one, we talked a little bit about one catch Chase Claypool made and a couple tackles that Alex Highsmith made. It was very exciting. But one of the other big names we were all waiting to see was Kevin Dotson. Now, when I say big names, I mean mostly in size because he is a lineman. But I also mean in the sense that this guy had to step up in his second game to start at right guard. He's officially filling in for David DeCastro, who's a five-time Pro Bowler and an anchor of the offense in this upcoming decade. But he filled in nicely, as did Chase Claypool. And it's a really good showing for a good draft class so far from Kevin Colbert. First, let's address Chase Claypool. First play of the game, literally the first kickoff of the game. Ball gets kicked. The Broncos try to return it. Who's the first person to get to the ball? It's Chase Claypool. He makes a tackle. He gets up. He's psyched. The whole special teams is psyched. And it sets a tone for the game. He would finish this game with three special teams tackled, one solo, two assists, but still three special teams tackles. Very impressive on his part for him to get all that done in the game. But then on top of that, we finally saw his big playmaker ability come to the forefront for the Steelers offense. It's when it was in that second touchdown drive, and really wasn't a drive. It was one big play. The Steelers, after getting a punt return called back from being a touchdown where Deontay Johnson went buck wild, Chase Claypool just torches his man. And from looking at the sky view, they showed it during the game. We still have all 22 yet, but we saw the deep view of what the safeties are trying to do. The Broncos on this play show two deep safeties, and then as the play is snapped, the safety on Claypool's side collapses into the box, showing, and then the other safety jumps to the middle of the field, showing this is actually just cover one or cover three, more likely cover one, with one safety in the deep middle part of the field and corners running in man coverage. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't hesitate. He looks to Chase Claypool, he lets it fly, and he takes a huge hit. And funny enough, the huge hit came from former Steeler Mark Barron, which was kind of ironic when I realized. I'm like, hey, I know those dreads. The ball's up in the air. It's perfectly placed in Claypool's hands. He keeps his feet on the sideline, and he takes it all the way into the end zone, outrunning the cornerback and the safety. Impressive feat for this guy. He does the doggone thing. Gotta tip your hat to that guy. He is a young man coming into this offense, making his name known, making his presence felt in the offense. That's a very good sign for where this team is going. Then, we all knew, coming into this game, a huge storyline was how this offensive line would perform, especially considering the right side of the offensive line was all full of backups. And yes, Zach Banner towards ACL, Chukwuma Okorafor, he's a guy who now sits in at right tackle. There's a little bit more confidence in him because he is the guy at right tackle, and they're saying, hey, we have confidence in you. You were going to be the right tackle if you didn't get injured during training camp. All that jazz. But Okorafor still filled in and filled in nicely. You didn't even question when he was in. The same thing goes, though, for Kevin Dotson. Okorafor makes sense. He started before. And in fact, he started against Von Miller before. So for him to play well in this game made a ton of sense. But Kevin Dotson was the huge question mark. And Mike Tomlin said it during his Tuesday press conference last week that if Dotson had to go, that he was going to be, it was going to take a lot of work from both him and the coaching staff to put him in position to win. Now, when you see the results, it's really good. There was a 12-yard run early in the game where James Conner ran through basically Kevin Dotson's gap. And Kevin Dotson is locked up one-on-one with Jarrell Casey. If you don't know who Jarrell Casey is, you better ask somebody. Because he used to be with the Titans. He's a five-time Pro Bowler. He's a defensive end now for the Broncos. And an interior defensive end, the way Cam Hayward is. And there was this one run play where Dotson just bullied him. He pushed him off the line, kept him engaged. And then when James Conner went past them, he pushed Casey, and Casey fell backwards. I mean, he neutralized him. That's impressive. Because the rookie in his second game in his NFL career, that's when the game should be going way too fast and he can't keep up. Doesn't look that way for Kevin Dotson. A very good sign that he's going to be ready to play for this offense very soon. But I have it from Dale Lally, our guy on DKPittsburghSports.com. He's telling me that David DeCastro will be back this week and he will be ready to go. They're going to need him. They're going up against the Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson. And even though the Houston Texans are 0-2, their 0-2 is a loss to the Chiefs and a loss to the Ravens. Arguably, the two top teams heading into this season in the AFC. The Steelers should not take them lightly, and they really should try to get back their full force and see if their offensive line is fully there. If it is, who knows? Maybe they're able to establish the final continuity on offense that they've been looking for this whole time. Because they're going to need that offense to step up and help them when as the defense is making play after play after play. 10 sacks in 2 games is great. 4 turnovers over 2 games is great. But you can't expect those paces to be kept up in every single game. Especially with Ben Roethlisberger back, this offense is going to need to find some answers. And when finding those answers, they're going to need to make sure that they find them soon enough. Before we head to our next break, we got to talk about our great sponsor, Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're covered in chocolate and they have oh so many different flavors. You can try out some of my favorite flavors, whether it's double chocolate mousse, chocolate caramel, chocolate peanut butter. They also have orange, lime, lemon, raspberry, and all the different flavors that you can try by going to BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. And remember, that's $10 off your next order, not your first order. If you've already ordered Built Bars and they're helping you out, you can still use that code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. When I'm at work and I used to hit the vending machine, I'd usually have to get a snack that was heavy, condensed. It'd be donuts, Pop-Tarts, potato chips, something that wasn't good for me. But with a Built Bar, you can get that re-energizing feeling in the middle of the day with just a snack that's either between 110 calories to 130 calories will leave you feeling energized, full, and ready to go to get you through the rest of your day. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, get your favorite flavor, and get a discount by using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. We'll be right back after this. All right, we're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get to talking about Randy Feigner and this offense. Okay, so I know a lot of you are mad. I was getting a little peeved, I guess you could say, during that first half. Because during the first half, they looked fine. They were trying to get their feet under them. Ben Roethlisberger comes out, hits some dinks and dunks passes. James Conner runs for a touchdown. Everything looks hunky-dory. Things are going to be great. Then they connect with a deep pass to Chase Claypool. Everything looks awesome. But then things don't start working their way. They get an interception from Joe Hayden. They only come away with 3 points, even after Joe Hayden got them to the 11-yard line. I know I said that the offense can be mediocre this year, but not scoring from the 11 and getting 3 drives that start at either midfield or better and only getting 3 points out of them total, that's unacceptable. The offense has to be able to cash in those moments. So I saw a lot of criticism of Randy Feigner, and I have my own criticisms of Randy Feigner. I still do. Because when I look at this game, I'm like, man, why didn't you test this secondary more? They're missing A.J. Bouye. The pass rush is missing Von Miller. Yeah, they get Justin Simmons, but you can pick on these young cornerbacks. And when they did, they seemed to have success. Juju Smith-Schuster looked like he was back in action. Looked again like a number one receiver. When you go back over and you see some of the plays that he made in this game, it was impressive. He was targeted 8 times for 7 catches and 48 yards. Technically, I think he was only targeted 7 times because the one of the catches he had bounced off of Benny Snell, and he jumped up and grabbed it. So again, when you got players like Juju Smith-Schuster, makes sense. Chase Claypool, makes sense. Why not test it? And Deontay Johnson too. He had his first touchdown of the season. And I think it was also the first touchdown pass he's caught from Ben Roethlisberger. And he caught 8 passes on 13 targets for 92 yards and a touchdown. All that's impressive. But they have to still find a way to be consistent, which is the problem the offense is having right now. And it's a problem they can figure out. It's not a death sentence that the offense isn't highly coordinated at this point in the season. It's week 2 of a year with no training camp, no rookie camp, no mini camp, no off-season OTAs, none of that. They've had to figure out everything in their own space at Heinz Field and move forward from there. I mean, for example, everybody in Pittsburgh, well, not everybody, a lot of people in Pittsburgh thought that Sunday was Benny Snell's day. That after the tough performance from James Conner, where he got hurt in week 1, that he was supposed to just give up, pack his bags, and let Benny Snell take over for the future of the running back position. Well, that didn't happen, because James Conner took 16 carries for 106 yards and a touchdown. Now, granted, over half those yards came on one play at the end of the game, but it was a play the Steelers had to have, and he still came through for his guys. Benny Snell, 3 carries, 5 yards, and a fumble. Not what the Steelers are looking for. Now, granted, he can bounce back. We had a great piece on him and his father on DKPittsburghSports.com from Tom Reed, where he went to their hometown, talked to the family, got a big sense of who he is. I think it's a great read for you. You should go check it out on DKPittsburghSports.com there. But let's get back to Randy Feigner. I do agree that they should have targeted downfield more. I do think that they should have been looking and being aggressive. But I also get why they might not have been. Because they might have been trying to say, hey, but when we drop back and we let Ben throw a deep pass and it went to Chase Claypool for a huge touchdown, he took a big hit. And, I mean, he seemed fine, but he took a big hit. You need to protect your franchise quarterback before you run into a situation like 2019 all over again, where Tony Serino comes in singing DuckTales every week. God, I'm glad he doesn't do that right now. Don't worry. He'll be back. But still, whew, some of the nightmares I've had. Point being, there are legitimate criticisms for Randy Feigner, but I'm not on board to just label them on him and say, hey, you know, this is all on you. Because you know what? Benny Snell shouldn't have fumbled. That was inexcusable. He should have protected the football. Even though I felt like he should have been throwing on that down, you still have to be able to protect the football. That's priority number one. Ben Roethlisberger, even when backed up against the sticks, shouldn't have made that throw. He should have thrown it away, let the punt team come in, pin him deep, and let your elite defense go to work for you. I think that's an answer that would come a lot this season if the Steelers do it right. Let's see how they continue moving forward. What's going to be very telling for me and Randy Feigner moving forward is if this offense can come to a place where it's able to trust itself and you see Ben Roethlisberger taking more of those shots early on downs to back off those defenders that are playing run first, as a lot of defenders have done over, you know, against the Steelers over the years, that's going to be a huge key. So let's see how Ben continues to recover. I'm sure he's a little bruised up again after a week. He's 38. These things happen in football. But if he gets his feet under him and he starts to feel comfortable, it might be time for Ben Roethlisberger to get back into his groove. And that might be the time for Randy Feigner to say, hey, let's cut it loose. Because that's what everyone was running for. They were like, hey, Randy Feigner, take the shackles off this offense. Let it fly. And Randy Feigner's more thinking like, eh, let's play it safe here. Because you only have one Roethlisberger. And if you mess him up, that's all you get. So I get Randy Feigner. I'm willing to give him an extension on not calling for him to be gone. but certainly the offense does need to pick it up this season. That's our show here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate everyone who's supporting the show. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. Also, if you really want to support the show, first of all, follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Also, if you want to really support the show, go on Apple Podcasts, and leave a 5-star review with a positive comment. Doing so will get you a shout out at the end of the show, like our friend here, Mr.E1970. Mr.E1970 says, "This is a must for every Steelers fan. Chris puts on a great show with unique insight into the Steelers. He has outstanding chemistry with his guests, providing entertainment and information on the Steelers. I especially like the crossover shows, getting an insider's view of the teams the Steelers are playing. Congrats on DK Pittsburgh Sports job. You deserved it." Thank you very much, Mr. E1970. You are appreciated. If you want your shout-out, please leave your 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts, and I will get you your shout-out on the show. Back tomorrow, hopefully with a Tony Tuesday to celebrate, and I hope you have a positive Monday.